Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our all-English lecture today, and it's also our News Digest unit. We're going down under to Australia here. G'day, mate. And we're going to be talking about one of their famous tourist sites there, a huge rock in the middle of the desert there. It's called Uluru. And I guess they've had too many tourists there tramping up to the top of it, and they've decided to close it off to tourists, which is kind of surprising to me because I thought they would have done that years ago because this, I guess, is a holy rock of the local Aborigine people there. So I think they should have kept people off it from the very beginning. But, you know, they need to attract tourists and stuff like that. And people like to say, hey, I climbed to the top of that. You know, aren't I special? You know, aren't I cool? So, of course, they had to let tourists in there. But I guess there have been a lot of incidences in which people have died climbing that rock, so they're closing it off to tourists. Australia bans the iconic Uluru climb.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took them this long as well, because usually when it's sacred to a people, and it is here to the Aboriginal people then, they're in the area, they'll take extra caution, extra care with these sorts of sites. But yeah, someone just died trying to climb it, and we're going to find out more people have died in the past, so it's probably best if they close it. There's some crazy people out there that like to climb and risk their lives.
Just to say that they did it.
Well, I was just reading a story a couple of months ago, and a young couple got married. The bride died trying to climb something, and just several months later, her husband dies in a parachuting or a paragliding accident. And I thought, wow, there are still a lot of risk takers out there. Be careful, guys, if you're doing risky things. What we're going to do, guys, is first we're going to read through this article, and then we're going to only speak in English. No Chinese, Tom.
Oh, no.
Here we go. A Japanese tourist passed away in early July 2018 after collapsing during a climb on Uluru, a massive monolith in Australia. The man was flown to a nearby medical facility after he lost consciousness, but attempts to revive him failed, and he was pronounced dead at the age of 76. He is the 37th person to die on Uluru's steep rock faces since the 1960s. In the months following his death, safety concerns, along with consideration for the site's cultural significance to Aboriginal Australians, served to justify the nation's decision to ban climbing on Uluru. Effective October 2019. Uluru, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, is considered one of Australia's most stunning landmarks. As an internationally recognized monument, it attracts over 250,000 visitors annually. Rising 348 meters above the ground, the red, dome-shaped rock is known for how it appears to change color in different seasons, and even different times of day. What's more, the striking geological formation is as sacred as it is beautiful. To the Aboriginal Anangu people, Uluru is actually the center of the universe. For tens of thousands of years, the Anangu adorned Uluru with paintings and carvings of their honored ancestors. Therefore, climbing this spiritual site is incredibly disrespectful to them. In years past, signs asking tourists not to climb the rock were installed. However, while the signs reflect the Anangu people's wishes, there are marked trails leading to Uluru's summit, right behind the posts. Thus, the request is not always enough to discourage tourists from attempting the climb. It is hoped that the new law will not only halt this practice once and for all, but also right what has been called a historic wrong.
Okay, let's do our all English lecture in today's program.
Better slow down, Tom.
I guess I better. I was born in the United States and my parents spoke to me in English, so I guess I'm a native speaker of English here.
Yeah.
And so I guess we are qualified to do an all English lecture in today's program. And the title of our article for today is Australia Bans the Iconic Uluru Climb. Okay, so this is a famous tourist site in Australia. It's a huge rock in the middle of a flat desert. It's kind of weird if you see pictures of it. It's like totally flat around there for miles and miles. But then there's this big rock sticking up in the middle of nowhere. How the heck did that happen? There's probably some scientific explanation for it. Maybe it's some kind of volcanic rock or something. Who knows? But in any case, it's quite cool, quite stunning. And a Japanese tourist passed away in early July 2018 after collapsing during a climb on Uluru, a massive monolith in Australia. So this happened to a Japanese tourist, someone from Japan, on tour of Australia. And this person collapsed when climbing this big rock. Okay, if you collapse, you pass out. If you talk about a person collapsing, yes, you lose consciousness and you fall down, maybe from exhaustion or because you're starving or something like that. You collapse, and this person collapsed, and I guess he later died. We'll find that out in just a second. But this happened when he was climbing this massive monolith in Australia. And a monolith usually is a large rock that is standing straight up. It's not like a mountain, but it's sticking straight up. And monoliths oftentimes are artificial, made like a sculpture or something, like a rock sticking way up in the air. But in this particular case, it's actually a natural structure, a monolith, because it just kind of sticks up in the middle of nowhere.
We'll sometimes use it to talk about, as Tom said, artificial things or man-made structures. If you've got a really tall, very large, ugly, boring building in your city, sometimes people will refer to those as maybe a 100-floor monolith. Ugh, don't you hate that? But here it is, a natural stone. It's a natural rock that just goes straight up. There's really usually nothing on these monoliths. They're just lots of rock. There's not a lot of greenery or vegetation, like trees and, you know, pretty flowers and grass. So we're going to talk about what happened to this man who was trying to climb Uluru. He was flown to a nearby medical facility after he lost consciousness, but attempts to revive him failed. And he was pronounced dead at the age of 76. When I started reading the paragraph, I thought we were talking about a guy who was like 30 or 40, maybe. This guy was 76 and trying to climb a very difficult rock to climb. He was climbing a rock face. We're going to talk about that in a minute. When you lose consciousness, you're no longer able to respond to people. It looks like you're asleep, but you're not. You actually lost the ability to communicate. We're not ever sure if some people who have lost consciousness are, you know, hearing us in some part of their brain, but they can't respond at all. And if you try to revive someone, usually they've passed out or they've lost consciousness, and a medical team will work on this person trying to get them back. Sometimes your heart fails, and if doctors try to revive someone who's had a heart attack and fail, it means they pass away. But if you revive someone, you bring them back from that loss of consciousness, or if you revive someone who's passed out, they are restored to life or restored to consciousness, and they can communicate once again, or they're living once again. Sadly for this fellow, he was pronounced dead at the age of 76. If you've watched medical shows or movies that have doctors working on a patient who has passed away or their heart stopped, they've stopped breathing, if they work on them for another 20 minutes to try to get them back or revive them and they're unsuccessful, they'll look at the clock and say, 10:24, time of death. Time of death, 10:24 p.m. And that's when they're pronounced dead, meaning there's no hope for them. They've worked on trying to get them back, but they've been unsuccessful and they let that person go.
Yep, they tried to revive him. Maybe they used CPR or something like that, but it didn't work. And he died when he was 76 years old. And he is the 37th person to die on Uluru's steep rock faces since the 1960s. So that's quite a few people who have died climbing up this rock. It's possible that he collapsed because of heat exhaustion. Maybe it's in the middle of the desert there and it's really hot. I've never been there myself. I don't know what the weather conditions there are like, but I could imagine, yeah, he probably was exhausted, maybe too hot, so he passed out, and he was unable to be revived. And he's not the only one. 37 other people have died when climbing the steep rock faces of this big monolith.
Yeah.
If something is steep, that means it goes from a lower elevation to a higher elevation rather quickly. The cliffs on the east coast here of Taiwan are very steep, or other mountains are very steep. I wouldn't say Fuji Mountain is very steep. Maybe it's kind of more gradual,
yeah,
going up the slopes of that,
yeah,
perhaps, but there are some mountains that are quite steep, like the Matterhorn in Switzerland. That's quite steep. It's probably very difficult to climb that, and also Mount Everest in Nepal or China, Tibet, whichever you want to talk about there, is probably quite steep as well.
I want to talk about what a rock face is. Notice here that it's countable. A rock face is that bare vertical surface that you'll see on natural rock. And climbing a rock face is really difficult. It reminds me of some of the Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise. There was one movie that just opens showing him hanging by his hand on a rock face. So if you're brave enough or dumb enough to climb a rock face, you better be careful because a lot of people have lost their lives climbing rock faces. So we know it's very steep. As Tom says, it goes straight up. It doesn't gradually go up. I like those kind of mountain climbs better. I was just climbing mountains in Scotland, and it wasn't too steep, so I could handle it. But if you're really a professional rock climber, they actually like the challenge of those steep rock faces. Mm. Now, in the months following this man's death, safety concerns were brought up, along with consideration for the site's cultural significance to the Aboriginal Australians. So once he died, people started talking again. It was a topic of conversation. They started saying, hey, you know, Uluru's kind of dangerous. Maybe we need to rethink this. It's also a very sacred site to the Aboriginal Australians. So maybe we need to change our policy. If you talk about a consideration for something, it means you're considering it, you're thinking about it carefully. Typically, that consideration isn't very quick, so you give yourself some time to really think deeply about something before deciding or making a decision. Usually, it's done by a group of people, but it could be a decision you make for your own life. Maybe you're considering going to a university out of the country, or you put a lot of consideration into what you want to major in, things like that.
Yep, indeed. You consider these questions. You take things into consideration. Mm. So they thought about, well, people keep dying here, so those are safety concerns. And plus, the local Aborigines think that this rock is holy. We should respect that.
Mm-hmm.
So they took these things into consideration. And this all served to justify the nation's decision to ban climbing on Uluru, effective October 2019. So here we've got the verb to justify. That means you have a good reason for doing something. You can prove that you have the right to do something. You know, what you did was not justified, okay? You didn't have any reason to do that, or you didn't have the right to do that. So they use this to justify their decision to make sure that their decision was the correct one, and it's not effective just yet. We don't want to tell you to go down there and climb it right now while you got a chance. I'm kind of more for the Aborigines here. If they think it's holy, you should stay off it.
Yeah, me too. I agree with them.
And do like a lot of other people do. They find places, and I think they just watch it all day long and do sketches of it.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think that harms the rock at all. It respects the rights of the Aborigines, and plus you can get some pretty good drawings as well. Okay, that brings us to the halfway point in today's lesson. Let's take a break now, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, guys. We're talking about the very iconic Uluru, which is a massive, massive piece of rock. It's a rock face found in Australia. It's very steep and very tempting for people who are rock climbers, who really enjoy the challenge of climbing up steep rock faces, which is something I don't enjoy at all. But I have a friend who has actually tried to climb Everest, which is crazy to me. I can't believe we're friends because I don't enjoy that kind of thing. But we found out at the beginning of our article that there was a Japanese tourist who passed away just recently in July. This person was 76 and was still trying to climb a pretty dangerous rock face, but he lost consciousness, and after they tried to revive him, either at that site or maybe they had rushed him to a hospital and were trying to revive him again there, he didn't make it. He passed away. So he is one of 37 people to have died on Uluru's steep rock face since the 1960s. Now, in the months following his death, we found out that people really were talking about some of the safety concerns. They were talking about how this site has a lot of significance to the Aboriginal Australians, who consider it a holy site or a sacred site. And so after all of this consideration and discussion, they decided to ban climbing on Uluru. They felt they were justified, they had good reason to do this, and that ban will start, or it becomes effective, October 2019.
Okay, so in just less than a year, but again, we're not encouraging you to run down there and climb it.
No.
We'd rather keep you off of there. Be safe and be respectful to the holy nature of the site, but yeah, go ahead and check it out. Look at it,
at least.
It's pretty. But here in the next paragraph, it says, Uluru, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, is considered one of Australia's most stunning landmarks. So that's true. Although it's really, really far away from all the major cities, it probably takes several hours to get there. So yeah, please take that into consideration if you want to go to some place like that. But it's similar to going to places like Yellowstone in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They're really far away from the major cities, and you have to rent a car or join a tour or something to go there. And as an internationally recognized monument, it attracts over 250,000 visitors annually. So here we've got the word monument, which is usually some kind of physical structure that commemorates something or remembers something. It can be natural or artificial. In Washington, D.C., of course, there's the Washington Monument, which itself is kind of a monolith. It kind of sticks straight up in the air. I can't think of any monuments here in Taiwan. There are statues. Maybe there's that monument down in 228 Park there, the 228 Incidents Monument that's standing there in that park. I would call that a monument. Have you seen that? It's actually quite impressive.
Yeah, I have. I would call the Sun Yat-sen Memorial, that where he's sitting in a chair, that's kind of a monument too.
Okay.
A very nice area. But yeah, it's a monument, and it attracts a lot of people, a lot of visitors annually or every year. How big is it? Well, it rises 348 meters above the ground. It's red, and it's a dome-shaped rock. We have some red rock in Arizona and also in Utah, where I frequently go. That's quite beautiful. If something is shaped like a dome, think of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. It has a dome-shaped roof, and that's what we're calling. This rock is shaped like a dome, so it's got a circular base, a base that's shaped in a circle. And then it kind of goes up and kind of points at the top, but it's rounded a little bit. Dome. Oh, McDonald's has arches, right?
Mm.
An M, if you look at an M, that first part of the letter M is kind of like a dome, except the bottom isn't a circle. But if you cut a basketball in half, that's also a dome shape.
Or the museum down in 228 Park there in Taipei has a dome. I think it's the History Museum, if I'm not mistaken, or Taiwan. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
Mm.
It's also got those big cows in front of it from the old shrine.
But I wanted to mention, Tom just used an expression we use quite often just talking, and don't quote me on that. If you say something and then following what you say, oh, don't quote me on that. It means I'm not sure, so don't tell other people. it. I said it was a fact. Don't quote me on that. It just means I'm not really sure that what I just said is accurate or true. But we use it quite a bit. Don't quote me on that. Because if you quote someone, you're saying these are the exact words they said.Yeah, he's not sure. I'm not sure either. So I can tell you, though, there are a lot of very beautiful buildings that choose to build domes on top of that building. That's kind of the roof part. So this is how it appears. So it's red. It's very tall. It rises above the ground. And this is the cool thing about this particular rock face. It changes color based on the season. So it looks like a different color during the fall, spring, summer, winter. That's kind of cool. And it even seems to change color during different times of the day based on the sun and the shadow.
Yeah, I understand. As I said before, it's really wonderful to sketch that thing. Even if you're not an artist, still put a pencil to paper and see what you can come up with and watch the light change on the rock all day long. Don't try to climb that thing, but I guess we can't stop some people from doing what they want to do. But this lesson goes on to say, what's more, or in addition, the striking geological formation is as sacredas it is beautiful. Okay, so that basically could be expressed as it's both sacred and beautiful in equal amounts. Okay, so again, we said this is sacred to a local group of Aborigines there. Sacred means it's holy. It's something you don't mess with. Mount Everest, I believe, is sacred to the people of Nepal or Tibet. It depends on who you talk to. It's sacred. It's holy. It's something you don't want to do nasty things on, let alone climb to the top of it. But indeed, it's as sacred as it is beautiful. It's very sacred and very beautiful in equal amounts.
We tell you why it's considered to be sacred to the people. They think Uluru is actually the center of the universe. So it's a very, very important place for them. So that's why they want us to respect it. For tens of thousands of years, the Anangu, this group of people, the Aboriginal people there in Australia, they would adorn Uluru with paintings and carvings of their honored ancestors. So if you adorn something, it just means you make something more beautiful or attractive, typically by adding decorations. And here the decorations happen to be paintings and carvings of their ancestors or family members that lived before them. Therefore, climbing this spiritual site is incredibly or very disrespectful to them. So you want to consider that if you're thinking about taking a trip out there and making the climb, at least before October 2019. After that, it's banned. So in years past, signs asking tourists not to climb the rock were installed. So if you go over to Uluru, you'll see some of these signs that say, please don't climb this rock. But what is the problem with the signs there, Tom?
Well, okay, the summit, it says, there are marked trails leading to Uluru's summit right behind the posts.
Yeah.
So again, it's sacred to the Anangu people there, but unfortunately the trails are marked behind those signs. So people see the sign that says, don't climb it, but then they see the trails marked. So they say, well, gee, what do they want us to do?
Yeah, they kind of contradict each other. If you contradict something, you do the opposite or say the opposite of something else or somebody else's words. So yeah, you see the signs that say, don't do it. But then it's like, oh, these paths are inviting me to climb the rock. Yeah, doesn't
so,
work.
So, yeah, we've come all this way to Australia, and if we don't climb the rock, we're going to regret it for the rest of our lives. So, again, the trails that lead to the top of Uluru, or the summit, that, of course, is the top of a mountain, and those trails are right behind the posts. I guess there's several trails there. And thus, the request is not always enough to discourage tourists from attempting the climb. So, here, they're not discouraged. If you discourage someone from doing something, that means you kind of cause them to not want to do something anymore. Okay, so I thought, well, gee, I really wanted to go to the beach this afternoon, but boy, the weather is discouraging me. In other words, it looks like it's going to rain, and if I go to the beach, that's not going to be any fun. So that is very discouraging. It's causing me to lose my energy or enthusiasm.
Yeah. Or sometimes the government will do things that will discourage people from doing certain things or behaviors. Maybe, let's see, the government is discouraging smokers by banning smoking in most public spaces these days. So they're trying to prevent or try to prevent something from happening by, you know, making sure that people feel, you know, embarrassed or unable. They don't feel welcome or confident about doing something. So, yeah, the request is not always enough to discourage tourists from attempting the climb because, as we said, there are these wonderful paths right behind the signs.
Yeah, I'm also noticing that I think in Taipei here, they're gradually reducing parking for motorcycles.
Ah.
So it seems to me they're trying to discourage people from riding motorcycles and maybe take the bus or public transportation.
Yeah.
Motorcycles or scooters.
Scooters
exactly.
are smaller, yeah.
And you can put your feet inside them. That's a scooter. But I don't think that's having any effect. I think there are just as many scooters nowadays as there have always been.
Do you think they just try to find places to park that maybe aren't legal? Are they
possibly,
parking
but
illegally?
You know, you might get towed away
be
there.
Be careful.
But hopefully they can discourage that. Those things are noisy and they cause a lot of pollution.
People
get hurt and killed all the time on those scooters. So yes, they should discourage the use of scooters, although they are very convenient. So here they're trying to discourage tourists from attempting the climb of Uluru, and it is hoped that the new law will not only halt this practice, or stop it. Halt means stop. It's more of a stronger way to say stop. Hey, halt! Who goes there? Okay, and this practice wants to be halted or stopped once and for all, which means forever. But they also want to right what has been called a historic wrong, and I believe they're referring to allowing people to climb on this rock that is considered holy to the local Anangu people there. And they want to right that wrong, and yes, people should keep off that. It is made out of sandstone, I understand, which is a soft kind of rock. Yeah, they shouldn't be letting people on there anyway, even if they didn't respect the local tribe's rights. But people should not be on that thing. They have no business being there. But I'm sure you can look at it. That's fine, too. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today, and it brings us to the end of our All English lecture. So that's it for us. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our show. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.